people. Now, Joshua is a type of Christ. We know that. We see that his name is even used sometimes in the New Testament, and in place of his name is used Jesus. And the reason that is because the names mean the same. It means salvation or Jehovah salvation. That's what the name means. When you read the name of the Redeemer, when you read the name of Jesus, you'll find with it the word save or salvation or Savior. When you just read the word name, talking about Him, you'll read Savior, salvation, save. He shall bring forth the Son, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is His name, salvation, Jehovah salvation. Now in this text, Israel has been brought by God, the children of Israel, they've been brought to the edge of the promised land. But God won't allow Moses to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Instead, the Lord has raised up Joshua, and Joshua is going to lead the children into the promised land. What is the significance of this? We see the end of Moses' rule here and the beginning of Joshua's rule here. What's the spiritual lesson in this? What do we learn? Remember, we learned in John 1:17, the law came by Moses. Moses is a picture and a type of the law. That's what he is here. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Joshua's a type of the Lord Jesus. The Lord will not allow for Moses to lead the children into the land of promise because you and I, sinners in need of mercy and grace, in need of righteousness wrought in another, by another, by Christ Jesus. The Lord will not allow us to be brought into His presence through our doing, through the law, through anything in us. We have to be brought by Jesus Christ, our Savior alone. That's the only way God's going to receive all the glory. And God's going to receive all the glory. No doubt about that. All right, let's see some things about this. I titled this message, Joshua, the End of Moses. And I titled it, thinking on this scripture, Christ, the End of the Law for Righteousness. Joshua, the End of Moses. All right, here's the first thing I want you to see. Jesus, the Savior, the Lord and the Savior of His people, served under the law. Now, in the type here in the picture, Joshua served under Moses. He served under Moses for many years. We read in Galatians 4. You want to look there with me. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, that appointed time, God sent forth His Son. That's who we're talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ. Made of a woman. The children were flesh and blood. The children He came to redeem, so He took part of the same. Made of a woman. Made under the law. That's where his children were. They were under the law. Under that curse of that one transgression in the garden. Under the law. And He came to redeem them that were under the law. To buy them out from under the law. To pay everything that was owed. To buy them from under the law. That we might receive the adoption of sons. All right. Christ Jesus became obedient. And He fulfilled all righteousness of the law. We read here about Joshua, and it says here, the Lord told him, you take this book of the law, and Joshua 1:8, He says, don't let it depart out of your mouth. Meditate therein, day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, my meat, my bread, my life is to do the will of Him that sent me. And so many times we hear, He came to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said, I have need to be baptized of you. And He said, thus it behooves us in fulfilling all righteousness. He said, everything that's written in the law and the prophets is written of me. Don't think I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. Everything He did, He had the law of God in His heart. He had the law of God on His thoughts. He had the law of God on his tongue. He had the law of God in his hands and his walk and everything he did. And he was doing that as a representative for his people to fulfill a righteousness that his people couldn't fulfill. And then his children had broken the law. His children had sinned against God and transgressed against God in Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But it's by one man that many are going to be made righteous, and that one is Christ. And he became obedient even unto the death of the cross. He went to the cross and he was made sin for his people that he might make them the righteousness of God. He satisfied the justice of God, the law of God, the wrath of God, and he put away the sin of his people. So now, in all points, he has completely, totally, thoroughly fulfilled all the righteousness of the law. Everything. Everything. Now, that's what we see here in what was commanded Joshua. He's going to be the one leading these people, and he's the one who's told, take this word of my law and you eat it, you live upon it, and thus you'll be the deliverer of my people. All right, here's the second thing. Now, those born of the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of Christ our God, are no longer under the law. They're no longer under the rule of it, but are led and are under the rule, the motivation, the constraint, the teaching, the revealing, the being upheld, everything by the Spirit of Christ our God, working in the inner man. Now watch this. You remember how the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, he gave an illustration of a woman married to a man. And he said, as long as she's married to that man, the law bears witness. The law says she has to stay married to that man. If she leaves him or departs from him, she's an adulterer. Whoever she marries or whoever marries her is an adulterer. He says, but if that man dies, she's free to marry another. The law says she is. The law says, free, marry another. The same law that forbid it before now says, it's free. You can marry another. And he said, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you might be married to another, even to him who's raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Real fruit, living fruit, true fruit. Not that stuff that we called fruit and we pretended was fruit, but was just an outward show of a pretense. Real fruit. Heart fruit. Fruit that only Christ can produce. Fruit that only the Spirit of God can produce. Fruit like love and long-suffering and mercy and kindness. And these are things that we could get everything all molded and reformed on the outside. We couldn't produce that fruit. We couldn't produce the fruit of seeing a brother in error and having the discipline of loving him and going to him and trying to point him to Christ and teach him the word of Christ and remind him of these precious promises by which God says a sinner will be brought out from that bondage and brought out from his error. We didn't have the fruit of being able to ask God truly and say, Lord, teach this my brother. Teach, edify him, protect him, help him, teach me how to deal patiently and gently with him. We didn't have that fruit. We didn't have it. We had that dead fruit of saying, I wish you'd teach him. Teach him something. He needs to know something. We had that. Even our prayers was dead fruit. And then we had that fruit now of patiently waiting on, after we've done that which God's given us to do, of patiently waiting on God to reveal it in him and teach him and do it. That's the discipline the believer's under. Mercy and grace and love and forgiveness with the Word of God, asking God and waiting on God. Well, now we see here, he says, you're free to be married to another. Free to be married to another. The law has ended. That rule has ended. You're free to be married to another. Now we see it in our text, Deuteronomy 34:5. Moses is a type of the law. It says here, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. He died. Now, I like this. I want you to see this. Now you remember Romans 3:21, and I reiterate this time and time again to you, and I want you to get this. Now be sure, I know folks like to debate about objective and subjective faith and all those things, but listen to this now. In Romans 3:21, it says, "The righteousness of God without the law is manifested." It's revealed. And it's witnessed. Just like that law that said you cannot be married to another. Now that law says, okay, you're free to be married to another. The law and the prophets, everything the law of God said and everything the prophets say, everything in this book is bearing witness to the faith and the fidelity of one. And that's Christ the Lord. And so that's what we read here. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets in Romans 3:22. And the King James Version reads, and mark it if it doesn't read this way in whatever translation you're using, "Even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ." It's the fidelity of Christ. It's the faith of Christ. It's the righteousness of Christ wherein we behold the righteousness of God. And it's unto all and upon all them that believe. From the faith to faith that He gives, we behold Him and rejoice in Him. But the righteousness is in Him. Now we see this in our text. If you don't understand that, and you don't believe that that's what that text is saying, you'll miss this and you won't rejoice in it. But every verse of Scripture is given to point us to Christ and to show us where salvation is. Watch Deuteronomy 34:9. "Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for because Moses had laid his hands upon him." Now you look at that carefully. You remember who Moses is? Moses had laid his hands on Joshua. The law came by Moses. Moses is a picture of the law. Moses is a type of the law. And the law, Moses, bore witness and laid his hands on Joshua. Moses was a prophet. The law and the prophets bear witness of that the righteousness of God is manifest in Christ. Moses laid his hand on Joshua, and you have a picture there of the prophets bearing witness. This one is the one that's going to lead you. This one's the one that's going to save you. This is the righteousness of God. And the fact of the matter is, Joshua here being full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses laid his hands on Joshua, Christ Jesus is the spirit of the wisdom of the law and of the prophets. Remember we saw last week that He asked the prophet before He ever came into this earth, all the prophets spoke by the spirit of Christ and they spoke about Christ. He's the spirit and wisdom of everything the law and the prophets say. And He said, "They are they which testify of Me." Everything about them. So both the law and the prophets, they bear witness of Him. They lay their hand on Christ, declaring loud and clear to everyone that has ears to hear, Christ Jesus is the power and wisdom we've been declaring to you since God first gave the first word. It's what we've been saying to you the whole time. The Savior by which God's children shall be delivered into the land of Canaan. Now here's the third thing. Jesus, our Savior, is the governor and He's the commander over all the children of Israel. He is. Now watch this. When this was revealed in the children of Israel, when it came to them and they heard it, they hearkened unto the witness. They obeyed Moses. They obeyed the Lord by obeying Moses. And they obeyed Moses. And they followed Joshua. They did it all. It all culminated in them following Joshua. Look at Deuteronomy 34:9. The end there says, "And the children of Israel hearkened unto Him." The law and the prophets. You know what you're going to do when Christ, when God reveals Christ in you, when He reveals that the righteousness He's been declaring in this Word is in, you're going to look into these Scriptures and you're going to behold that the law and the prophets all bear witness of Christ. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to believe God by believing the law and the prophets, and you're going to obey God and obey the law and the prophets. How? By believing on Christ Jesus and following Him. That's what they did. The children of Israel hearkened unto Him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. That's what happens every time the Lord speaks into the heart of a sinner. Look back now at Galatians 4 again. Galatians 4 again. I meant to tell you to hold your place there and I forgot. Galatians 4. Look at verse 6. And because ye are sons. You see, God provided this one, Joshua, before these children of Israel ever knew he was the one that was going to lead them. God provided His Son before you and I ever even knew we were sons before we knew we were sons. We were sons in His Son before we knew we were sons. And He says, because ye are sons, He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, and no longer under that rule of Moses anymore, but now you're a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's a good word. That's a good word. They were under that rule of Moses. Now they're under the law of God. But he served its purpose. Moses served his purpose. The law served its purpose. And when Christ is revealed in a sinner, now they come under that light and easy yoke of Christ the Lord. And they follow in Him. We're no longer looking to the law to deliver us. We're no longer looking to the law to motivate us. We're no longer looking to the law to be the force that we use to try to get some kind of compliance in one another. We use it. I'm using it today. I'm sitting here reading what Moses wrote right here today. And the law is good if a man use it lawfully. If we use it, what was it given for? To shut our mouths and point us to Christ. And if you use it for that purpose, it's good. It's good use of it. But it wasn't made for a righteous man. It wasn't made to curb and constrain and bind a righteous man. And all those who are washed in the blood of Christ and born of the Spirit of God are righteous in Christ. It wasn't made to bind and yoke him. It was made to point us to Christ. And we see Him. We see that really indeed all along. The Spirit of the law and the Spirit of the prophets, everything they've been saying is Christ is all our salvation. Well, I want you to see this in Galatians 3. And I think you can put a capital F here on this word faith. Verse 23, Galatians 3:23. Before faith came, before Christ came, before he enters into our hearts, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. He is the one that's going to have to be revealed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. And it's revealed in the face of Christ Jesus. He said, the light shined, we saw the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, after Christ has come, after He's entered in, we behold Him, we're no longer under that schoolmaster anymore. For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. All right, now let me give you a few things here real quick, and I'm running short here. It's not that the believer's without law to God. In fact, it's not the believer who is without law to God. You know who's without law to God? Those who turn again to the law are without law to God. That's true. That's true. The believer obeys everything the law declares by slipping under the light and easy yoke of Christ our King, under His direct leadership, under the rule of Christ Jesus, who is our God, who is our lawgiver, who is the fulfiller of it, who is our life, who is our righteousness, who is all and in all. We're passed from death to life, from bondage to complete redemption. Listen, it can't be more clear. If ye be led of the Spirit, just as if I went over here and I took my son by his hand and I said, come, son, let's go. Who's leading him? I am. If I'm led of the Spirit, I'm led of Christ Jesus, the triune God of glory, my Savior. I'm led of Him. He's got hold of me. And just like my son, if he starts trying to let go of my hand, he don't stop that. It don't stop me from leading him. I keep on holding on to his hand. The grip that I'm trusting is the grip that he's got on me. Oh, wherefore you're no more a servant, but a son. Now, Paul said, now if you've been known of God, why then do you turn again to those weak and beggarly elements? The carnal mind, to be carnally minded, is to mind those things, to mind fleshly obedience, to mind outward obedience. I'm not saying, brethren, that we don't have the believer has a desire to walk honorably before God, a desire to adorn the doctrine that we believe, the Savior we believe, the God of the doctrine we want to adore and adorn Him. And because we know that, and we know that's the heart of our brethren, that's all the more reason not to turn again to those weak and beggarly elements. It's all the more reason not to look upon the poor, erring brother and become offended. The Lord said, if your right eye offend thee, you know when my eye offends me most? When I start using it to be a fruit inspector and start looking at you and see your error and your sin, I get offended. And not only, I become an offense. He said, pluck that out. How? I can't look at all that in you if I'm looking at Christ. You can't. That's how you pluck it out. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Isn't that so? We know no man after the flesh. If I see, you see error in me, I see error in you. I know what that is. That's the old man. If I saw that in the Apostle Paul, I'd be looking at Saul, not the Apostle Paul. Can we understand that? Can we delight in that? Will Christ really lead me? Will He really direct me like that? Listen, vested with all the authority, with all the power from God, you know what Joshua did? He led Israel to victory, and he led them to possession of the land. Just like God said He would. That's what He did. Lord, our Lord Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. King over the hearts of all heathen kings. King over the hearts of all sinful, wretched, lost men who think they're kings. Kings over the hearts of all those that He, by His Spirit, has made kings and priests unto God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Able to turn the king's heart whithersoever He will. Joshua led Israel right into Canaan. Moses led them up to it. They looked at it. Joshua led them right into it. What the law couldn't do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us. He's already delivered us into the land. We're already there. It's as good as done. That's right. Well, He conquered all their enemies, and every promise that God made to physical Israel was fulfilled in Joshua. And so it is that if this book, this gospel we preach, it's not conditional promises. God will do this if you do that. That's what the legal covenant was. This gospel is the promises of what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will do to save His people. And everything He's promised, it's not maybe, it's yes and it's amen in all these promises. Every one of them are in Christ Jesus. All of them. So where else we want to be but in Him, trusting Him, following Him. He did it every. Paul said, I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Paul said He's able even right now to subdue all things unto Himself. That means that erring brother, that erring sister. So you know what Paul said? He said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, as many as be matured in this understanding and realization that He is this powerful, let us be thus minded. And if anything, you be otherwise minded. What Paul said, God shall reveal even this unto you. He'll subdue. He's able to subdue all things unto Himself. Well, let me end with this. When I hear about this love and this joy and this long suffering, this gentleness, this goodness, this faith, this meekness, this temperance, which our God's able to, the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. And I see my failure. I see it makes me want to take the yoke of that taskmaster, my old taskmaster's yoke, and grind it into powder. It makes me want to take this pointer finger and break the thing and not use it anymore. But then I see how far short I come. I see how I fail and how miserably I fail, and I feel like a harlot departing from my God and not being faithful to just trust Him. But you know what also I have a promise of in this type? You know what Joshua did when he came to Rahab the harlot? When he saw that scarlet line in the window, he saved her and didn't destroy her house. Oh, lay hold of Christ. Believe on Him. Trust Him. Trust Him in spite of yourself. Trust Him in spite of everything you are. And He promises, God our Father promises, when I see that scarlet line that I'm pleased with, and you just, all your hope is in that scarlet line, that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll spare you. I'll spare you. That's our hope. That's our hope. All right, amen.